Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
sleeper. Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Welcome on in. It's the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. That's how you get aboard. Kyle Quinn is behind the glass. You guys on the phone lines, we got a lot to talk about. The matchup is set. It is the Los Angeles Rams coming to Philadelphia on Sunday for a 3 o'clock kickoff in the NFC division round. We'll hear from Nick Sirianni later in the show, his interview with Joe and John. We will have Ross Tucker on the show and a lot to discuss here as we get set for a huge playoff weekend. Good morning, Hugh.
Good morning, Joe. Good morning, Philadelphia. Hey, listen, remember, even when you're not at work, you're at work. So just act accordingly.
That's for everyone out there, especially if you're going to be at the crowd at a football game.
And wilding out. If you want to be calling people mean and hurtful names.
Yeah, let's act like
a grown-up. Just remember, everybody got camera phones now. Just keep that in mind.
You can't hide, so don't try to do that. All right, 215-592-9494. All right, we'll get to some significant thoughts on the Rams and Eagles coming up in a little bit. We know the matchup is set. Hey, that game wasn't even close last night.
Nah.
That was a blowout.
Nah, it was bad, man. The Rams look pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they threw the ball a lot. They ran for just a hair under 100 yards, but the game was about the passing game. Even though Matt Stafford didn't throw for a whole lot, I think it was like 202 yards, but you could tell that's what they were trying to do. And, you know, that they went out and did what they had to do in this game, man. Yeah, now they come to Philadelphia.
Yep, they do. All right, we'll get to the rematch and our thoughts on it coming up in a little bit. We know we saw the Rams that beat them pretty well in late November out in Los Angeles. They're coming here this coming Sunday. It's interesting, you just mentioned it was about the passing game for the Rams last night. For the Eagles, it's not usually about the passing game. It's more about the running game. And on Sunday, this past Sunday against the Green Bay Packers, look, I don't think Jalen Hurts was bad, but he was just, okay, he was fine. You know, he had some good moments early, 6 of 6 to start the game, the touchdown to Jahan Dotson, a great, great, you know, blocking in front of him for 6.75 seconds. And then it felt like it went, I don't know, like an hour of real time, maybe more.
Yeah, it got bogged down a little bit.
It did. I mean, they didn't have a completion for nearly two quarters. Then, when they needed it, he had a nice drive with two completions to Devontae and then the touchdown and the check by him, which credit to Jalen Hurts for making that check to Dallas Goedert. Here's the question, you know, because it was a blah game by Hurts. It wasn't great. It wasn't bad. He was just there. And he made a couple of nice throws. But Hugh, he hadn't played in weeks, right? He hadn't played a full game since the Steeler game on December 15th. And you watched him on Sunday, and you called this, I think a lot of people called it, that he wasn't going to play his best coming off the concussion. Hugh Douglas, do you give Jalen Hurts a mulligan for Sunday and say, hey, that was the first game back. They faced a good defense. Give him that. Now we move forward and ask for more of the rest of the playoffs.
Yeah, because it's one of those things where, you know, I don't know for whatever reason, but people expect, you know, certain things. They expected Jalen to be spectacular, and that's unrealistic. I mean, if you don't do anything for a while, that's just like, you know, you like to work out, you like to run.
Mm-hmm.
Say if you ran 5 miles every day for a month, take a couple days off and see how you feel trying to run that 5 miles.
Not as well, I'm guessing.
It's not as well.
Yep.
It's a struggle. It's different because your body's not accustomed. Jalen was in a rhythm when he started to play better, and he unfortunately got hurt. He was in a rhythm. He was in a routine. The routine was broken. For 30 days, for the most part, 30 days, the routine was broken. So to sit there and say, hey, he's going to come back and take pick up where he left off at, I just thought that was unrealistic. And that's why I said what I said. I think he's going to play better this upcoming week. But, yeah, to sit out there and say that you expect Jalen to be who he was when he got hurt in Washington, I just thought that was not fair. That was not being realistic, I should say.
It probably wasn't. 215-592-9494. So here's how I feel. And Hugh, that's a fair point. It is a fair point. That look, I'll just use it, you use the example of me running, right? If I run every day for a while and then I stop, that next run's probably going to be a little bit down or not my best. And that totally makes sense. But if I often have tough runs or not great runs, then the mulligan one doesn't stand out as much. And what I mean by that is, like, the game I saw Jalen play on Sunday, whether or not that was because of the rust, he's played that same game a lot this year.
I mean,
year.
It's been his brand.
It's been that's why, for me, I'm not giving him a mulligan, because this is what Jalen Hurts has been. So as we look forward to this weekend, now he's got, you know, he'll practice this week and he's in a rhythm again, you would hope. I don't know. I don't expect a whole lot different this week. I looked at his game on Sunday, and I know every game is different. Stats don't paint the entire picture, but it does paint a picture. So he was 13-21 for 131 yards. He threw the two touchdowns, no picks, and he usually takes care of the football pretty well. But this game statistically was a lot like the Carolina game, where they won and they finished that game late against a, you know, pretty below-average Carolina team. It was similar to his game in Baltimore. It was similar to his game against the Giants. It was similar. I mean, he played this kind of game 3 or 4 or 5 times this season. Like, for me, if he had been playing at a super high level all year, and then he had an off game after the concussion, then I think I would say, yeah, give him a mulligan. That was weird. He'll be back on track next week. It just feels like this was the Jalen game we're used to this season.
Yeah. That's who Jalen is. I mean, and I don't have a problem with that, because we won 13 games because of that. We won 13 games because Jalen is who he is. Can he be better? Yes, he can. But for whatever the reason, the way Jalen has been playing and the way this team gravitates toward him or rallies around him, it's working. Now, is it something that's desired from a fan base? I don't think so. But for whatever reason, Jalen's able to go out there and put together games that allow us to win. And I think part of that, a lot of that has to do with the talent that we have around us and the fact that he brings that intangible to the table where, you know, it's unquantifiable. I know I keep saying that and people say, what do you mean by that? It's unquantifiable. That's what I mean by that. It's something that he brings to the table that no other guy brings to the table. And that's what makes this team special. That's what makes him special. Because when you look at what he's been able to accomplish over his career, I'm talking about college, he wins football games. He's not the traditional quarterback. He doesn't have the traditional size. He doesn't have the traditional arm. But the one thing I can say about Jalen that you can't say about a whole lot of quarterbacks is that he wins football games.
Well, he does, and a lot of them. And now here he is again in the division round, one win away from getting back to a title game. 215-592-9494. Let's hear from Ray Dittinger yesterday on the morning show talking about Jalen Hurts' performance.
I would say, if you say average, you're being kind. You know, I mean, I'll ask a question to you. If he plays like that again, do you think they advance? I don't know. You know, I mean, he's going to have to play better. I mean, all the conversation during the week was about the rust factor, the layoff factor. He hasn't played for a while. He hasn't practiced. You know, how's that going to affect him? Well, clearly it did.
So Ray, you know, pointed to the idea that if he plays like that again, can they win? We'll see. The Rams are coming in, and they look better than they did last time we saw them. But the bottom line is this. Average is the word Ray used there. I feel like a lot of this year he's played pretty average, and he played average on Sunday. That's why the mulligan thing for me, I don't know. He just played the way he's played a lot of this season. Let's hear Dan Orlovsky, Hugh. This was interesting because there's another perspective here on Sunday that we haven't gotten too much this year, which is maybe this the passing game struggles, or like the lull they went into. Maybe it wasn't on Jalen this time. Maybe this was more on the receivers, the coaches, the scheme. Here's Orlovsky.
My takeaway is not Jalen Hurts struggled. I thought Jalen was fine. My takeaway is nobody was open. And that's my where my attention goes. Why was no one open? Why did Green Bay look like they could mug you up no matter what your pass concept was? Why did Green Bay defensively look like they knew exactly where you were going with your pass concepts? And I think that's the overall, I guess, concern or question mark moving forward for the Eagles offense is Jalen wasn't rusty. Shannon, I would disagree. I don't think Jalen's a sudden player. I don't think Jalen is a timing and rhythm quarterback. That's part of the reason why their pass game is what it is. But my bigger concern is with Kellen Moore, who is a very good coach and I think is going to be a head coach one day. How come it felt like Green Bay knew exactly where you were going to be pass game wise? How come that it looked like they knew that what the route concept was going to be? There was nowhere to go with the football more often than not for Jalen Hurts.
Hugh, this is probably the first time all year we've heard this side of the story. Because anytime the Eagles' passing game doesn't go well, it's like, wait a second, they have a great offensive line, they have all these great weapons, this has got to be on Jalen. Orlovsky watched the tape, and his perspective was, on Sunday, guys were not open this time.
He's not the only one. And I'll go as far as to say that we have somebody that's local that has picked up on this for a long time. It's my text buddy, Rhea Hughes. Rhea would say stuff like this to me early in the season when she would say, Kellen Moore sucks. And I would listen. I hear, but I don't watch the game like that. That's not – I don't watch the game for the receiver concepts and things like that. But obviously she does because Rhea charts plays. And I remember her early in the season was like, some of these play calls look similar to the ones that Kellen Moore had. And even and it was a few weeks ago, even when we got off to a pretty good start, Rhea still was not happy with some of the play calls because she said they were vanilla. And I remember these conversations, and I think it's relevant because I believe in threes. And when you hear things in threes, there has to be something to it. Dan Orlovsky, Rhea Hughes, Jason Avant said the same. And this is not like this is not all have been said. This has not all been said at the same time.
Right.
But it's been said periodically. And the last person that I heard said was Jason Avant. Jason Avant said basically echoed the same thing that Dan Orlovsky says. And I tend to give him a little bit more weight because Jason's here. He has skin in the game. I know Dan Orlovsky does the national show, not taking anything away from him. But you got two guys that are on the offensive side of the ball that see things like this and understand those concepts. And then when he broke it down, Orlovsky went so far is that he pulled up the tape. He pulled up the all 22. And he showed you where, in certain instances, that guys were covered. Now, just to have a little bit of pushback, I will say, as the route progressed, they were covered. But early in some of those plays, there was an open man.
Sure.
But here's the thing. If I know my quarterback is risk-averse in the way that he runs his offense, why am I putting him in positions or calling plays that I know that because of his demeanor and the way that he approaches the game, he's not going to probably throw those plays? I mean, so you have to – I think every good offensive coordinator has to marry what he does with the skill set of his quarterback. And if you know that your quarterback is risk-averse – and Andy knew that about Donovan. Donovan didn't do that. He put him in positions and called plays – that allowed him to have success.
Well, and that's on Moore, and that's on Sirianni, and that's on Hurts to get to those. Now, the one that Hurts did a great job on Sunday is he made the check to the Goddard touchdown. That's probably the – because nothing was working. I mean, they were going – that before that drive started, they had gone basically two quarters without anything going in the pass game, and the Jalen made two nice throws to Devontae, including one on the move, and then he called the check to Goddard. We might need more of that. If A.J. can't run as well – and Moore's scheme is becoming predictable, they're going to have to – something's going to have to change this coming week and the week after. They're going to have to find a way to make plays, whether that's Jalen checking, Jalen using his legs, Jalen throwing someone open. Otherwise, we're going to sit there and be like, uh-oh, what are we doing? 215-592-9494. Do you give Jalen Hurts a mulligan for the way he played on Sunday? Again, which wasn't bad, but I would use the word that Ray used. I think John Ritchie set him up with the question a couple mornings ago. Average. And the reason I'm not giving him a mulligan is because – he's been average most of the season. I thought he played on Sunday like he's played a lot this year. Good enough to win, fine. At times, you feel great. At times, it's like, it's not good enough. 215-592-9494. Do you give Jalen Hurts a mulligan for the way he played on Sunday? Kyle, what are you feeling here as we get ready now for a big divisional round against the Rams?
Yeah, we're on the back nine of the golf course in the playoffs. And the way me and my buddies play is you get one mulligan on the back nine.
So that's it.
That's it. This is the only mulligan that he gets. And so first of all, I don't necessarily agree that this was a status quo Jalen Hurts performance from this year. I feel like this was more on the low end of the spectrum of how Jalen played. And what Ray said was to say average is being kind.
Yeah. Yep.
I think he was more leaning toward this was not a good game for Jalen Hurts. And I agree. Like, I think the one thing that stood out to me about this game was that he wasn't as accurate as we've typically seen him. I think he had like a 61 completion percentage, where his average for the season is like 68. And he went those two quarters without completing a pass, held on to the ball for way too long. And I know we snicker and we laugh about, you know, when people give you the Jalen Hurts excuses and we play Jalen Hurts excuse bingo. I actually think, at least in the case of this game, some of those can be applied. I did expect him to come into this game rusty, having, you know, only thrown four passes in the span of a month, not getting enough practice with A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith, who are banged up, by the way. And I think what you saw or what you heard from Dan Orlovsky was somewhat correct in that they probably weren't getting as much separation as they often had throughout the season.
Especially AJ.
Yeah, and I don't think the play calling really did him too many favors either. So I'm not going to be one of those people that said, oh, they won the game, like, it's fine. No, like, that's not an acceptable performance as we...
What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes, I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast, Untrimmed Twin Pack, just $4.99 per pound. Signature Farms Boneless Skinless Chicken Breasts, Thighs or Wings. Buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Progresso Soup, 18 to 19 ounce selected varieties. Buy two, get four free when you buy six. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Move throughout the playoffs, but at least in terms of that one game, I'm okay with that being a shake off the rust performance. They ended up getting the win. Can't happen next week, but for this week, he gets the mulligan.
All right, so put it in perspective what Kyle was saying about his number, 61% completion. So he had three games this year worse than that. So it was more towards the bottom of his completion percentage for the season. As far as yards per attempt, which I think he was a good metric for efficiency. You always talk about efficiency. Like, yeah, he's only going to throw it 20 times. Well, what does he do with those 20 times, right? It was his fifth worst or fourth worst of the season yards per attempt. The other ones that were like this were Carolina, Baltimore, Tampa Bay, Atlanta. So he hasn't had many of these, right? Like, since September, he's been better than... I didn't think he was bad on Sunday, Hugh. Kyle thought he was a little below average. I thought he was fine. It's just it was weird the way the game went, because 6 of 6 to start.
He started off, but those were those short to intermediate passes.
Yeah, and then he went cold for... I mean, yeah. It felt like... I was watching the game. I felt like, when was the last time they completed a pass? It was
a
long time.
But you know what? The thing that I think that people aren't looking at, that you have to look at, is that Jalen's not putting the ball in harm's way.
That's a huge thing.
That's huge, man, because you have examples of last night's game, all games all weekend, where the ball was put in harm's way and teams capitalized on it. And I think that people have to do this as well. Every playoff season is its own entity. I mean, that's just how it is. And normally it's the formula in playoff time is to run the ball well, protect the football. And they're normally low-scoring games. You don't get these high-flying, high-scoring games in the playoffs that you do in the regular season, because everybody's playing it close to the vest, and they're playing formulaic football. And what I mean by that, if it's working, we coming back to it. If we can run the ball, we're going to keep running the ball. We don't have to do anything else. You're not stopping the run. We're going to run the same play. We're just going to get to a different formation, but we're going to get back to it. We're going to get back to what we do. And that's basically what you see. Last night, like I said, the Rams, they ran for a hair under 100 yards. They were trying to throw the ball. That's what they were trying to do, because that's their bread and butter. Because at the end of the day, when you look at them during the regular season, they weren't really a power running team. They weren't a team that ran the ball well. They want to throw the ball. So if that's what they want to do, that we have to take that away from them and force them to run the ball more. That kind of plays into our favor. And that – kind of plays into the timing of the playoffs. And on the flip side, we've already seen the Eagles manhandle that front of the Rams. Do that, because they're gonna do everything in their power to try to stop you from running the ball, but they couldn't do it the last time you played them. So do that. There's no need, again, since I know this is a little early and it's Tuesday, but I'm going to just say this. I don't need Jalen to throw for 300 yards in this game. I need Jalen to hand the ball off to Saquon Barkley and get his receivers involved as much as needed in this game. That's all we need. That's all we need to win this game.
215-592-9494. Let's go to the phone lines here. Chris in Middletown starts us off. Good morning, Chris.
Happy Bookgate Day, man.
Good morning, Chris. What's going on?
Hey,
Bookgate. What's Bookgate? Am I missing something?
Mm.
AJ. Sorry. I got you.
I'll leave that there for you guys to address later.
Okay.
But
yep.
So you know, here's the thing. So Jalen gets a mulligan, but you didn't even need a mulligan because you guys have said it all right. All right. So he said it already. He didn't play in a month. He didn't even practice until Wednesday. And if I remember correctly, I believe AJ was even out of practice. I don't even think he was there.
He was. Like, he left practice Wednesday and then didn't practice Thursday. Yep.
Yeah. So, like, guys, let's rewind last weekend. And before we start being overly critical of Jalen's play, he didn't throw up on himself like Justin Herbert, Bo Nix, last night, Sam Darnold, and of course, what Jordan Love did. So, you know, he didn't lose the game. He didn't turn over the ball. You know, yeah, would we have liked to see him hit a big play or two here or there? Yeah, but he didn't do what those guys did. And that's the formula we've won with all year long. We don't turn over the ball. We run the ball, and we play what kind of defense, Hugh Douglas?
Dominant defense, great defense, not a luxury defense. What do you want to go with?
Take a pick from that, what he just said.
Great defense, Hugh. We play great defense.
There we go.
Okay? And dominant defense. So, guys, I'm not worried about this at all. And, you know, here's the thing, too. When we really needed him, when we opened the second half, we immediately punted the ball back to Green Bay. And I thought, oh, here we go. This smells trouble, right? Mm. They kicked the field goal. It's 10-3. What did he do? He answered right back with that touchdown.
Yeah, and that's Chris. And Sirianni mentioned that yesterday, and it's true. And that's why, Chris, it's a good point.
One last thing to leave with, guys. Here's what I need. I need Coach Goob to live up to the hype that he got coming into the season, okay? Mm. Because, guys, what I'm hearing you say sounds very Nick Bosa-ish from last year. Have a good one, fellas.
Well, Chris, you got it, man. We appreciate it. So that's it's interesting, Hugh. How much of, let's say Jason Avant and Dan Orlovsky are right on this, and Rhea. And Hugh, I they might be, right? Like, especially, I mean, we got a former quarterback, we got a former wide receiver. I think they understand what they're seeing when they look at offensive tape. And we'll talk more about this as the show goes on. But is that because AJ couldn't run, so they couldn't do as many normal things they do in the pass game? Or have teams realized, hey, based on what they asked Jalen to do, we can kind of guess what's going on in these past. I just wonder if the book is out, Jalen either has to be better or Moore's got to be better. Otherwise, the Rams are going to know what's coming on Sunday.
Yeah, I'm not absolving Jalen from all of this. But like I said, if you know that your quarterback is risk averse, then you have to do stuff that allows him to be successful. You can't be vanilla. Jason Avant's funny, by the way. I'm watching his video, and he talked about it was a screen that I forgot who the screenplay
Saquon
was to.
Saquon, maybe?
And Schmitty was the lead blocker?
Yeah, I
we've
think
seen, we've seen that.
That doesn't work.
That is not – that's what I'm saying. Like, I know that these receivers aren't afraid to block, and Schmitty will mix it up with the best of them. But if I'm trying to have success running a play – then in order for it to be successful, I probably need somebody with a little more girth out there blocking.
Yeah, I hear you.
I mean,
on that.
You see what I'm saying? I understand that that's probably the concept and that's what you want to run, But I need that guy.
Yeah, you do. 215-592-9494. Are you giving Jalen a mulligan for his performance on Sunday? Hugh is, Kyle is. I'm not, because I've seen one very similar a handful of times this year. I don't think it's mulligan worthy because I've seen it before. Your calls on that, plus we'll let you hear what a couple former Eagles had to say about Hurts' performance, one on the generous side, and one, I would say, a bit on the harsh side. That's next. Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.